Well, today, of course, is Father's Day, so I thought it'd be appropriate for us to, or for me to speak a little bit on the topic of fathers. Fatherhood is a role that you step into, of course, when you have a child. You can't really be a father if you don't have a child or have adopted a child. Fathers, of course, have many biblical responsibilities. We know many things that the Bible says about the importance of being a father and what to do as a father. One of the great tragedies of our modern age is that fathers often neglect the responsibilities that God has given to them. Well, as Christians, Christian fathers certainly must not neglect our responsibilities as fathers. We must fulfill our biblical roles. Interestingly, as I was considering what to speak about on Father's Day, it occurred to me that there are certain verses in the Bible that use this phrase, as a father. And I thought, well, what do these verses tell us? And so I looked up all the occasions where you have that little phrase, as a father. There's only three of them. And so this morning we're going to look at those three verses in the Bible that use that phrase, as a father. And interestingly, each one of these phrases tell us something about being a father or responsibilities that a father should have or does have. And so each one of these passages, we'll see what the father is supposed to be doing, what his responsibilities are. And then, of course, we need to, if we are fathers, or the possibility may be that we'll be a father, or if we have fathers in our lives, we know what the fathering role should be. And for those who are fathers, we need to make sure that we are fulfilling these roles. For those who will possibly be fathers in the future, we need to understand that that is the role that a father has, and he needs to be prepared to do that. And then for those who may be wives, or even children, we need to know what this role is, and we try to encourage our fathers to fulfill these obligations. So the first one of these is found in Psalm 103:13, if you'd like to follow along. And we'll just read this passage very briefly. It's just one passage, one verse. And so if you'd like to follow that or look it up in your Bible, Psalm 103:13 says, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Like as a father pitieth his children." And so the first thing that we learn here is that fathers ought to have love and compassion for their children. Now, the King James uses the word pity here, but it's not the typical sense that we today in our modern world think of pity, because generally when we think of pity, we think of feeling sorry for somebody. You know, there may be occasions when a father does feel sorry for his children or child, but that's not really the sense in which the word is used here. The original word here means love deeply, or have compassion, or have mercy. In fact, the word is used elsewhere of a mother's love for a nursing child. So it's a tender compassion, a tender love that a father ought to have for his children. Somebody said that this root word refers to deep love, usually of a superior toward an inferior, rooted in some sort of a natural bond, and it's used for the deep inward feeling we know as compassion, pity, or mercy. And so this is what a father ought to have for his children. I think naturally would have, like God has for his children, fathers ought to have mercy or a deep sense of tender love for their children. In fact, biblical authors use the same word to describe God's love or God's compassion for his people. Deuteronomy 30 verse 3 says, "The Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you." God has compassion on his people in a similar way that a father should have compassion on his children. Isaiah 49:15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb?" So God says, likewise, "They may forget, but I will not forget you." So this is the kind of tender love and compassion that a woman would have for the nursing child. Obviously, that is a deep sense of tender affection that a person, a father, ought to have for his children as well. So just like God loves those who fear him, fathers love their own children. This is part of God's nature, you might say, one of the attributes of God, one of the characteristics of God's nature or being is love. We know in the Bible it says God is love. He loves by nature. It's part of his character to love his own people. And so that's the way it ought to be. It ought to be natural. I think it is natural for most fathers, at least Christian fathers, it ought to be natural for them to love their children, to have this sense of deep, tender, personal care and concern. In fact, Paul describes the failure to love in Romans 1:31, where he says, without natural affection. And there are parents, there are fathers and mothers who do not have the normal affection that they ought to have for their children. We see that all around us when parents fail to do what they ought to do for their children, or treat their children badly or abuse their children. What's wrong with these people? Well, they don't have natural affection, and that's one of the characteristics of our world in which we live today and of sinful and depraved people. And notice the next verse, if we go back to Psalm 103 again, verse 14, it says, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. So the love as a father, the kind of love that God has for his people, shows or reveals this idea that God loves us knowing that we are dust. Now, what do you suppose that means? He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Well, he knows that we're imperfect people. He knows where we come from. We're creation. We're not the creator. We're not perfect. We fail. We fall. We come short of the glory of God. And so God recognizes our tendency toward failure. He recognizes that we are sinful people. We need the grace of God. And likewise, we need to show that grace. We need to show that mercy. In fact, this word love can be translated as mercy sometimes in the Bible. So God shows mercy toward his failing, faltering people. And likewise, fathers need to show mercy and grace toward their children. Probably one of the worst things that you can do for your child is to expect perfection. I don't know if you perhaps have had experience with perfectionists, but when parents have the idea that their child will never fail, will never fall, they'll never sin, and they get all mad and angry when a child does childish things, that can be very harmful for the child, because nobody should expect perfection from anybody. We recognize that everybody's a sinner, we all fall. And children especially behave in childish ways from time to time. And we can't punish them severely or harshly for the fact that they are imperfect. And so we don't want to have that perfectionist attitude. Instead, we want to have mercy and grace toward our children. Paul, remember, he said, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. One of the ways that fathers sometimes provoke their children is by having unreasonable standards and rules and regulations. Sometimes fathers are too stern. They're too hard-nosed and inflexible with their children. And what does that do? That leads to provoking the child to anger, because he's punished inordinately for every little mistake and every little slip that he makes. And so we don't want to punish the child inordinately. We don't want to provoke our children to wrath by being inflexible or having these unrealistic expectations. We demonstrate love for children by being compassionate and merciful. Now, that's not the only thing. This is kind of we have to be balanced in our approach. We're going to be talking about correction here in a minute. But we have to have this underlying sense of love, compassion, and mercy to show grace when the children make mistakes or show bad judgment. Love essentially in the Bible means doing what is in the best interests of the person loved. So parents generally know what is in the best interest of their child or children. The children might think my best interest would be eating ice cream every day for every meal, having donuts and pop. That'd be a great thing. That's maybe what children would love to do. But the parents know that that's not in the best interest of the children. They feed them broccoli and whole wheat bread and fruit and vegetables because the parents know better. And that's one of the things sometimes with this child-centered parenting is the idea that the parents just yield to whatever the child wants. Well, that's not a good idea, because generally speaking, the adults know better than their children do. And so that's where the parents have to be a bit authoritative. They have to do what they believe is right for their children. And so doing what is in the best interest of your children is really the responsibility of the parents. But love means showing affection. What else is this idea of love? There are some nuances in this idea of compassion. But love means showing affection to your children. As I said, this word is used of a nursing mother, a mother nursing a child. So the picture is of tender, warm affection. And I think we all know children need affection. They need appropriate contact, physical contact with their parents and their loved ones. They need hugs and kisses. They need to hear from us that we love them. We ought to be saying regularly to our children that we love them. They need to hear that. We have to demonstrate our love through appropriate physical contact. And by the way, if children don't receive love from their parents, they may go looking for it from other sources. I've heard reports, particularly of young women, who have not received solid affection, appropriate affection from their father. If a girl doesn't receive that from her father, typically speaking, or it could happen that later on in life she goes looking for that from other men. She never received appropriate affection from her father, and so she's looking for that from someone else, and often they get into trouble because they go looking for that from other men other than her father. One of the greatest tragedies of single motherhood today is that children raised without a father in the home do not have that influence, that authoritative, loving leadership that people in the household need. If it's a single mother without the father in the household, then you've got problems oftentimes because the children don't get that loving authority from their fathers. And so fatherly love and affection is very important. We express our love by spending time with them and interacting with them. We need to spend time with our children and do things with them to show that we love them. An interesting study came out recently showing that fathers today actually spend considerably more time with their children than the fathers of previous generations. According to this report, in 1965, the typical married father barely spent half an hour each day actively engaged with his children. Today, dads in their 30s typically spend more than 80 daily minutes engaged with their children. So I think younger men, the younger generations, have recognized the importance of being at home with the children, and they're willing to spend maybe less time at the office or at the job, less time watching TV or out in recreation, and they recognize the importance of being there for their children, and I think that's a good trend. And Christian fathers obviously need to invest time with their children. I mean, that's one of the greatest things that a Christian father can do, is to spend time with his kids. Another way of showing mercy or showing love is to show mercy. Mercy is withholding the punishment that is due. Sometimes children deserve to be punished for their bad behavior, but this word pity or love has the nuance as well of mercy. And typically speaking, or in some cases, fathers can be rather stern. You know, you often hear that old expression, wait till your father gets home. When he gets home, then he's going to punish you. And so he's there to punish. Well, fathers also, they need to show mercy. They need to show this kind of compassion. We need good and godly judgment to know how to deal appropriately with children. In some cases, we need to be lenient. We need to be the merciful one. In some cases, we need to be stern. We need to be the ones who dole out the punishment. That's true. But there are cases in which we need to show mercy. Mothers usually show plenty of loving kindness and compassion for their children, but fathers often are just the opposite. They're kind of stern, they're standoffish, they don't really get involved sometimes with the raising of the children. They leave that to the mother. You know, the mother's the one who shows the kindness, the compassion, the love, and the father's there for the punishment. If you have to do the punishment, you have to do that, but you also need to show that loving kindness and that mercy toward your children. Probably the most significant thing a child needs from both parents, but of course today we're talking about fathers, the most significant thing that a child needs is love. The child needs to know that the parents love him or her. My family was, you know, we're Swedish and Danish, we're from Northern Europe, and we don't show that kind of, the family that I came from, my parents, didn't show that kind of effusive affection. I don't remember my mom or dad really coming up and hugging me. I'm sure they did when I was young, when I was little, but they didn't kiss and hug me very much. We were not a huggy kind of a family. They didn't really tell me I love you very often. I frankly don't remember my parents saying I love you very often. It's sort of that colder, I don't know, Northern European style that you don't show that emotion very much. But I had no doubt that my parents loved me, both my mom and my dad. They did many things for me. I didn't worry about, was I loved? That never occurred to me. Do my parents love me? Well, of course they love me. They take care of me. They feed me. They let me stay in their house. They give me everything I need. Of course my parents love me. Sadly, there are children who wonder about that. Christian children should never wonder whether their parents love them. Christian parents ought to be very effusive, very clear and direct, to show that they do love their children. That's something that children need to grow up with is that sense of love. Let's go on to the second point here, and that fathers ought to correct their children. And this is, again, Proverbs 3:12, which says, "Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." Once again, we have this expression, as a father. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Love does not prevent correction. Some people, they follow the extreme. If I love my child, if I have compassion and mercy toward my child, then I can't correct him. I just have to let him do whatever he wants to do. I can't punish him because then he might not like me. Maybe it's unloving to show correction. Some people would say never lay a hand on a child, like in spanking a child, because that is abusive. Well, no, it's not. Correction is appropriate. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. God demonstrates his love through correction. And likewise, fathers demonstrate their love through correcting their children. This word correct means to admonish, to warn forcefully, or to express strong disapproval. And within the word, there seems to be an element of judgment or justice. The word seems to appeal to what is right or legal. A father should be kind of like a judge or an umpire, like a referee. He's the one calling strikes. He's the one setting up rewards and punishments. He's like the judge who says, "Let me hear the case, and you're guilty of this, and you need to be punished, or you're not guilty, you need to be rewarded," or something like that. He sees the truth of an issue, and he makes a judgment based on right and wrong. So he sees, in this case, the fault or failure of a child. He expresses strong disapproval, and he corrects him forcefully. So the love, the compassion, the mercy that we have doesn't prevent us from sometimes responding forcefully to a child. Now, normally, almost all these words have to do with the verbal reprimand in the case of correcting. We don't find the physical, he's not dealing with physical things here, but we know there are cases where the child needs some physical correction. In this case, it's more verbal, to admonish, to warn forcefully, to express strong disapproval. So we can demonstrate love and show that disapproval at the same time. And if we fail to do that, there's going to be some issues. If we fail to correct our children, you may remember the story of David with his son Absalom. It says, I forget where the reference is, David never said a negative thing to Absalom. He never corrected him. And what happened to Absalom? He revolted. He rebelled against David and tried to eventually kill David. He tried, but he didn't succeed. Or Eli with his sons, the prophet Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas. He didn't correct them. He didn't discipline his children like he should have, and that created a lot of problems. And likewise, children who are not corrected generally produce a lot of problems. And we see in our world today a lot of kids who just do whatever they feel like doing with no correction, no discipline. Now, different situations, of course, call for different responses. Sometimes you have to be merciful, compassionate. You need to show that love and concern for a child. That's what would be in the best interest of the children. Maybe they do something wrong, but you respond mercifully and with compassion. Granted, they did something wrong, but they don't really deserve a strong rebuke. You just need to show mercy. That's true. But then on the other hand, sometimes we need to show a strong response. They need to be severely reprimanded. What do you do when the child spills the milk? Is that a time for a strong reprimand? Or is that a time to say, "Don't cry over spilled milk. It's okay. We'll clean it up. No big deal." I know that there are occasions when men especially become very frustrated with their children, and they might lash out and say something very even unkind over minor things. The kid spilled the milk. Big deal. Clean up the milk. You don't need to make a federal issue out of it. Other times when kids do things that are very bad, well, that's the time for a very strong response. And so we need to have that wisdom. Particularly, I think we reserve the kind of strong response to sinful activities. The child directly disobeyed. The child rebelled against you. The child dishonored you in some way. That calls for a strong response to show that child what he did was wrong, to admonish him, to warn him, to strongly react negatively about what that child has done or said. There are times for that. So that's where you have to have that fatherly judgment, know when to show mercy and grace, and know when to rebuke. And note that this kind of strong, forceful rebuke is appropriate for the son in whom he delights. The father delights in his son. The father loves his son. He's very happy about this son. But what does that son need from time to time? Correction, strong statement of disapproval of what that son has done. So he judges the situation, he expresses strong disapproval and warning. That's what fathers do because they love their children. That's an expression of love. Showing that correction, that strong disapproval, is an expression of love. And so children should be aware of that. They shouldn't question that their father loves them just because he rebukes them strongly from time to time. My parents had to spank me repeatedly when I was a kid, and I never doubted that they loved me. Even when I was spanked or given strong disapproval, I knew that they still cared for me. And so don't think that your children are going to hate you just because you strongly discipline them or correct them sternly. They're not going to, you know, think that you hate them or something. As long as you show both, you've got to show both that tender love and mercy and compassion when necessary, when appropriate. And then when it's appropriate, you are stern. I think you can be quite strict as a father as long as you're quite effusive in your love, in your affection. You can be very affectionate and you can be quite strict at the same time or in different circumstances, of course. So that's what fathers do because they love their children. This is a very important principle. Neglect of the child is a very unloving thing to do. Some children will misbehave just because they feel neglected. They don't know that their parents love them, and so the one way that they can get a response out of their parents is to misbehave. And that can be anything from very small areas of rebellion and misbehavior to very large things. I remember years ago when we were doing the jail ministry, part of the video series that I showed was a fellow speaking, and he gave the story of the time when he was speaking to a young man in, I forget what the situation was, but a kid in trouble, a troubled young teenager. And this guy says to this teenager, "I see that you grow your hair out long. Why do you do that?" He pauses for a moment, and then he finally says, "I grow it out long because it gets my father's attention." Well, the underlying implicit assumption there is that the father was not paying attention to that child until he misbehaved, in this case, growing out his hair long. The father would respond to that. And likewise, there are children, I think, if they feel neglected, they'll just do something, usually misbehavior, they'll act out in some way to get the attention of their parents, at least to confirm that their parents care anything about them. What do you do with, let's say, a pet if you don't care anything about it? Well, you just let it run out in the road. Who cares if it gets hit? It's just a pet that I don't care anything about. Well, likewise with children, if you don't care about your children, well, then you let them do whatever they feel like doing with no response, no discipline, no correction. And even an animal knows that if it's not disciplined or corrected, then the owner doesn't care. And likewise with children, if there's no correction, if there's no discipline, the child will come to the conclusion that my parents don't care about me. Now, misbehavior should not be the only time that you pay attention to your children. Some fathers, I think, are guilty of that. They only step into the life of their children when they misbehave, and we don't want to be that. Correction should not be the only time you show any love or interact with your children. It's your responsibility to correct the children, but that should only really be a minor part of your relationship. Hopefully you have a relationship of love and affection, but if you have to, you have to be strong and forceful in your rebuke. And I would say if you correct and discipline your children when they're young, you don't have to worry about that as much when they get older. And then thirdly, fathers ought to exhort, comfort, and advise their children. For this one, we have to go to 1 Thessalonians 2:11. "As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children." Again, we have this "as a father" little phrase there, as a father. And we have three words then, three things that a father does. The first one is exhorted. This word means to urge or implore, to earnestly encourage a response or an action, or just to call for a response. And so fathers are responsible then to tell their children what to do, to urge them to do what they ought to do. We often see that parents plead with their children and ask them to do various things as if the children have the final say. One of my pet peeves is when parents continually ask the child, "Would you please do this for me? Can you do this? Would it be okay if we did that?" as if the children are in charge. And that's one of the things that you really should not put on the shoulders of a little child, is to make all these decisions for you. Essentially, when the parents plead with their children to do something, they're basically saying, is it okay if we do this? Can we do this? And when you put that responsibility on the child, well, it's too much. The child is not responsible to make those decisions. And so I think parents ought to simply tell the child what to do and demand a response. Here's what we want you to do. Do this. Command the child to do what he ought to do. And then call for a response. Part of the idea here of exhorting is to not only tell the child what to do, but then to get the child to respond. So, Johnny, clean your room. And you expect a response of, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am, or yes, dad, or yes, mom, or okay, or even, I'm just about done with this. Can I do this in 5 minutes? Can I do this later today? Some sort of a response. Tell the child what to do, and then expect some sort of a response. You don't tell the child to do something and then have no response. You want the child to respond. And I think that's a good thing to sort of drill into the child. You expect them to obey, but you also expect them to respond positively to your command. So that's the exhortation. Tell the child what to do, command the child, and then comforted is the next word in this passage. This means to console, to alleviate suffering, to strengthen, or to encourage. And so obviously fathers want to decrease the suffering of their children. Children suffer in various ways for health or illness. They may have problems in school or various problems with the family or anything like that. And so when children are suffering, fathers want to console them or comfort them. That's one of the ways that we show love, compassion to our children, is to console them when they're suffering or sorrowful or have worries or pain of some sort. We want to console them. Some of you know that our child Marin was sick here a week and a half ago, and she was out of church and out of things for 4 or 5 days. And during that time, my wife, particularly Maya, did a lot of comforting and consoling, helping her to feel better. I didn't really get involved too much with that. My typical thing with consoling a child is to say, you'll feel better tomorrow. That's how I comfort my children. You'll get better. You'll get over it. Don't worry about it. Well, mothers are very good at that. Fathers, you know, we ought to try our best to help. What can I do? I mean, for a sick child, there's not a whole lot that I can do, especially when Maya's involved and she's taking care of things. But, you know, it's not only sickness. It's not only physical things like that. It could be sorrow over something. It could be anxiety. It could be other problems with relationships or any number of things that the father can step in and help, give a word of encouragement. This word means to encourage, console, alleviate, strengthen, encourage, help the child in various ways. So whatever the problems that they're going through, they need the mother there to show that kind of feminine side, but they need the father there as well. The father ought to be able to step in and give some strength, you know, give that little backbone, you know, give the little pep talk for the child to be encouraged to that they'll be able to get over these difficulties. Now, the fact that you're alleviating suffering doesn't mean that we remove all sources of difficulty. You know, children need to face their fears and face their anxieties. They need to jump over a few hurdles. They need to grow. They need to become strong by facing their adversaries, by going through some difficulties. And so there are parents, and I think it's wrong for parents to intervene at every section, every area of life, and try to fix their problems. Parents obviously do fix some of the problems of their kids, but sometimes we think about this concept of helicopter parenting. The parents are just kind of hovering above their kids, trying to fix all their problems. Well, kids need to go through some problems. They need to skin their knee and their elbow once in a while. They need to go through difficulties to learn how to handle those things. If a child never faces any difficulty, well, he's going to be kind of weak and anemic when he faces the realities of life. So parents can be there, fathers can be there to help and sustain and encourage, but at the same time, you can't remove all obstacles. You have to let them face their problems, deal with those things, and work their ways through. And I think that's in the best interest of the child. So this means that the fathers are there to comfort when they're sad, when the kids are sad or suffering or disappointed. We want to encourage our children. And so that's something the father can do as well. And then this last word in this passage is charged. We exhorted, comforted, and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. This word means to solemnly assert the truth of something. It's the word for witness or give a testimony in a court of law. The sense here, I think, is to assert the truth. We told you the truth. And so fathers ought to be a source of truth and wisdom. The children ought to have this innate idea that if I need some wisdom, if I need some advice, I can go to my father. My father will give me good advice for the difficulties that I face. These days, children, of course, have many influences in their lives. Friends, school, the internet, TV, music, radio, society, culture. We have all these different influences, and most of them are bad. Many of them are very bad influences. Well, the father ought to be a good influence. He ought to be giving good advice to his children, and they should feel welcome and comfortable coming to him for that advice. Ephesians 6:4 again says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So admonition, telling the child what to do, giving him good advice, helping him to make good decisions. Fathers should give their children biblically sound advice and urge their children towards spiritual growth and maturity. They should try to set a good example for their children. Well, fatherhood is a wonderful role. Many of us enjoy being fathers, but it's also difficult in many respects. The Bible gives us many significant responsibilities toward our children. These as a father passages give us these responsibilities that we ought to be seeking to fulfill. We demonstrate love, compassion, and mercy toward our children. Probably one of the most important things. If your children know that you love them, that's a good thing. They ought to know that. You ought to show that affection. Demonstrate tender love and affection toward your children. Fathers need to correct their children. It's not only the mother's role, that's the father's role. Correct your children. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Love and correction go together. Children need both. Correction is a demonstration of love. And so fathers need to correct their children. And then exhort, comfort, and advise. Command their obedience, encourage them when they're discouraged, and give them good advice. Well, these are all roles that the father has, biblically speaking, and hopefully on Father's Day, it's a good occasion for us to be reminded of these fatherly responsibilities. Well, let's close in prayer.